Morning, brothers and sisters. It's always a bit of a challenge putting an exhortation together, and especially when time is pretty limited at night time before I get home from work and just crash. So, as I said to Brother Mark earlier this morning, 90% of this exhortation was put together this morning, but it's around the framework following on from what our brother Michael Hughes spoke on last week, and the stages of the kingdom and how we fit into it, and the kingdom in relation to us. So I'm going to pick up a little bit from where he left off in how we prepare ourselves for the kingdom. Just a bit of a follow on, but with Christ as our example. And the reason I sort of chose this sort of exhortation was it's been on my mind for some time. The verse in 1 John 3 verses 1 and 2, basically, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And I was thinking about this, that are we really waiting until that time that he comes to be like him? It sort of has, to me, a more than one purpose, this verse. It's to encourage us to prepare ourselves to be like him when he comes, not just in our physical form, which we know will be transformed into at his coming. And that's the reason I took it back to our preparation, that we might be like him. Now, reading today in Jeremiah 17 actually sets out a lot of those steps that we need to take. And like I normally do, I get miles ahead of my readings in some particular section. So I actually had a look at Jeremiah 17 quite a lot earlier in this last week. And it sort of followed on that what our brother Michael was talking about last week actually has application in this, in that we need to have a certain trust in the Lord in order to enter into that kingdom. In Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, talks about the blessing that comes from trusting in the Lord. It reads, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Trees are one of my favourite subjects in Scripture, and especially when there's fruit involved, or the lack thereof, as in the case of the fig tree that was condemned to wither away because it bore no fruit, a little warning to us. But an exhortation is to lift people, not to act as... Maybe we need to have a warning every now and again, but exhortations should be something that's positive and to lift people. So we're going to look at the positive parts of Jeremiah 17. There's a lot of negatives for Israel in there, and by implication us as well. But we're going to look at ways that we bear fruit. Because in verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." Isaiah 32, verse 15, gives us a preview. You know, this idea of fruit and bearing and being fruitful for the Lord. We're given a preview of it in Isaiah 32, verse 15. Because in amongst all the prophesyings of doom upon Israel at that time, Isaiah had this message. in verse 15. It talks about a time of trouble for Israel until, in verse 15, the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. In the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Once again, the trees, symbol of individual nations, of people within those nations, not as the seas that Scripture talks about as a multiple thing, but specific application to specific areas of people, either as the chosen who bear fruit for the Lord or for those that don't. So we have this preview in Isaiah, and the words are actually echoed in Galatians 5, verse 13. I've lost the thread of what I was doing there, but that's all right. We'll pick it up at Galatians 5:13. Okay, we'll pick up the idea of fruit a little bit later on. It talks about here how we are to enter into service for the Lord, to be acceptable for Him. For brothers, we have been called to liberty, to use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serving one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And this is picking up on the theme of being like Christ. That Christ, in his time with us on earth, was called to a life of service. He not only was obedient to the Father, but he was totally in service to those around him. The ultimate expression of that service was in that first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and to the second, to love your neighbour as yourself. And he certainly loved his neighbour, us included, as himself. So to be like him, we have this admonition to love our neighbour as ourselves. That's the start of our service. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled. And this leads us on in thought to the fulfilling of the law. Who else was fulfilled in the law? And we read that in Matthew 5, verse 17, when Jesus himself said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill them. So we see in those words in Galatians that it is, in fact, that Jesus, as the Word, is fulfilling this law to love your neighbour as yourself. Certainly a high ideal for us to strive to. Reading on a little further in Galatians 5, and this is where we pick up on the fruit that I spoke about earlier and that was mentioned in Isaiah. We know this pretty well by now, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And I believe Brother Leo, many years ago now, from memory, spoke on this same subject, that for us to be complete in our walk with God, that we need to have all of these fruits. You can't just pick one or two and have lapses occasionally in the other. We actually need to strive to build, to start off with the love of our neighbour as ourselves, to have the joy of knowing that the Father is with us in the things that we do, and the joy that comes from being in service to one another. And that's, to me, is been, I've been given examples of that so many times in the last little while at work, that a lot of the people I work with don't know what it's like to give to somebody else. And yet, when it happens in a place like prison, which is quite a dark place, when they actually do an act, have an act of giving to somebody else, the transformation in those guys is amazing. And the thing that's expressed most is the joy that they feel from it. It's a huge thing. It actually turns their lives around. That's how important it is for us, brothers and sisters, to have that joy in giving of service to one, to not just one another, but to those around us, those less fortunate than us. I'm starting to lose track of where I am here. Carrying back we'll keep your finger in Jeremiah, because we'll be following that through pretty much all the way through. Back to verse 12. And it speaks here that of a glorious high place, a glorious high throne from the beginning of the place of our sanctuary. We know all about the sanctuary by now in our readings of scripture. So many times in Exodus it's pointed out that the sanctuary was at the centre of everything for Israel. And by implication, the sanctuary should be at the centre of everything that we do. That sanctuary being Christ, as typified in the ark in Exodus and shadowed by the wings of the cherubim. God actually was said to have dwelt in the sanctuary in Israel. And we know God dwelt in the sanctuary that is Christ. So our coming to Christ actually brings us into the presence of God under the shadow of the wings. We have a reference to wings in Matthew 23. This is a lot easier electronically. Like I was doing it this morning. It's all right, bear with me. Okay, and it talks about us being brought under Christ talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and his desire to shelter his people. At the time, it was Israel and the people of Israel that were the focus of his attention. But by implication, that we come under that category, that we are born into Israel, and that we are come under that desire for him to shelter us. We have trials, we have tribulations, we have times when we feel like Jerusalem, when the walls are being broken down. But Christ's desire for us is to be brought under the shadow of his wings. Okay. Back to Jeremiah verse 14. We're just going to follow through Jeremiah 17. Our walk with the Lord involves healing us from not just physical strife, but from mental strife as well, as Christ healed in so many ways. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we are healed. Talks about healing from sin, but Christ healed so many ways. He healed the physical ailments of people. He healed the mental ailments of people. He heals us from sin by the very bearing in his body of those stripes, of which we have a witness today in the bread. worth having a look at 1 Peter 2:24. It talks a little bit more about the stripes and their application to us. Starting from verse 21, we're talking about Christ being an example to us. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Can we say that of us? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, remembering that we also should do the same. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in our own body, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Like I said, healing comes in so many ways, so many examples. We've seen it in our lives. We've seen it in those around us. We've prayed for it and seen its fruit come to fruition. With God's grace, it's strengthened us. Jeremiah 17:14 speaks in that same verse about being saved. The reference being in John chapter 10 and verse 9. Talking about keeping the sheep of which we are a part of that flock. And Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. So we see these echoes of our reading in Jeremiah echoed right throughout the New Testament in particular, but certainly references from the Old Testament as a hint of those things to come in our time. Following on from Jeremiah 14, verse 15 now says that there were people that were saying, that were scoffing, where is the word of the Lord? I get a feeling that these people were like the reference in 2 Peter 3:4, talking about people carrying on in the way that they were, not fully expecting the Lord to come at any moment. Saying he delays his coming. And this is the impression I get from verse 15. These people are saying, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now come. In that case, they were talking about instruction from the Lord, our time today. We are waiting for the physical manifestation of that word, our Lord Jesus Christ to return. Jeremiah 17:17 talks of that wonderful hope in a day of evil. And when we think of days of evil, we think of a time to come. But not necessarily so. We all have our days of evil pretty much right through our lives. In fact, the days of good are far outnumbered by the days of evil. You know, several people have come to me and said, you know, where's good going to come in my life? I don't seem to have had any good in my whole life. And I can only reassure them that if they put their trust in God, then times of good will come. They won't be frequent. In fact, the challenges might be greater afterwards than before. But certainly that time of good will come. We know about days of evil. In Ephesians, verse chapter 5, in verse 16. a reading from verse 15. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Reinforcing that thought that the Lord sees these days as, in their entirety, days of evil. Flashes of good, yes, in individuals here and there. But as a whole, the times before the coming of the Lord are described as days of evil. Further on in Ephesians 6, verse 13. The admonition to us is to take unto us the whole armour of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. A lesson here, that the days of evil aren't just given or put upon us to make life miserable for us. They are to encourage us to find ways of dealing with it, of being able to put on the whole armour of God, the helmet of salvation, the blessed breastplate of righteousness, that we may be able to stand on that day of evil. We won't get into the standing against the walls of the devil, because we fight the devil every day. We see the devil working in the things of Israel at this time, the evil that is sent against the Lord's people in Israel by those who would wipe her out. Jeremiah 17, verse 25 speaks of a time to come. It speaks of the throne of David. And surprisingly enough, when I reference the throne of David through Scripture, it doesn't come up that often. But when it does come up, it's highly significant to a specific event, not just from the time of Solomon, who inherited his father's home, but significant events in relation to prophecy, that the end times, that the time of peace to come, was so closely related to the establishment or the re-establishment of the throne of David. Verse 25 from... talks about Israel particularly at this time. This is one of the first references to the throne of David in prophecy. That in a time in the future, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots on horses. They and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. It was a promise given to Israel if they were obedient. That time is coming, brothers and sisters, to those who are obedient. Because Israel, as a nation at that time, wasn't able to manifest the obedience that was required. In fact, they seemed to make particular effort not to be obedient and strayed quite remarkably, so far away from the Lord, he saw no other alternative but to scatter them to the nations. And we see them in the state that they are now, although prophesied, a state that's bringing them together out of that time of tribulation. That time is yet to come. We know, brothers and sisters, that the word of the Lord that I spoke about before in verse 15 is a time that's coming. We know that it's prophesied. It's been manifest to us in the Lord's work in the time in times past. And in John chapter 1, It speaks about who that word actually is. It talks about the word being made flesh and dwelling among us, a time that has passed as far as we are concerned. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And we see that glory now manifested in brothers and sisters who wholeheartedly follow the truth of God, who bear the fruits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And we are to be like John, brothers and sisters, at this time, to be a witness of that word which is to come, to be able to resist all the evil that befalls us, to endure it, and to come out the other side, because that's a promise that's been given to us. We've received the fullness in our lives, and in the time to come, we will receive even more. We've received grace for the salvation of our sins by our Lord Jesus Christ, by whose example we follow and whose death and resurrection we witness to this day by the partaking of these emblems. And most of all, brothers and sisters, we need to be like him in everything that we do, everything that we say, to be an example to those around us. And that's been one of the strongest witnesses that I've seen of people who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have manifested in their lives that they are like our Lord Jesus Christ. So our original premise that we will be like him when we see him is coming to fruition now. We will be like him in physical form when he does come. But brothers and sisters, let us strive to be like him now, in this time, that we might be witnesses to the world.